Good to be with you on this beautiful Sunday morning, November the 26th, 2023. And if you would, please take your Bibles and go to the book of Acts, chapter 1, where we're going to start. I was reading in Galatians, and something caught my attention, and we will get to it after we look at some things in the book of Acts. We are this morning going to do something that we just heard in the manifestations, that God has given us his Spirit, and he said, look into the word that reveals that life within you. So that's what we're going to do. Aren't the manifestations wonderful? We know that after Jesus Christ completed God's plan of salvation and redemption and then laid down his life as a one-time sacrifice for all human beings, and then God raised him from the dead, then he ascended into heaven, the stage was set for God to make eternal life available, as well as to make available what he wanted for human beings from the beginning, was to have his Spirit. The stage was now set for that. This morning, we're just going to consider that the starting point for a Christian life, or the beginning of being a Christian, is getting born again, receiving eternal life and the gift of Holy Spirit, and manifesting it. That's what we'll see in the scriptures. In the early church, when they got born again, they manifested Holy Spirit, got the Spirit. And also, the word in the Bible that we read that's translated spirit, sometimes it's ghost, that's Old English. But it has a number of different usages. And it's most helpful to have the right usage. Sometimes spirit means God. Sometimes it can mean spirit beings, angels, demon spirits. Sometimes it refers to the gift of Holy Spirit, that new nature that we have within, that gift that we receive. And in that category, there are times as a subcategory when it refers to the whole package, which we say the totality of the new nature, which includes all rights, all privileges, all abilities, including manifesting all nine manifestations. So I'm very grateful for the detailed research and teaching available in this book, the Student's Study Guide in the Intermediate Walking in God's Power class. Did you know there are 241 pages in this book? And 153 of them are appendices with some fantastic learning and teaching. So it's wonderful. You know, we're going to present an intermediate class, but the appendices not only give us great information on different usages of spirit, but so many sections in God's word are very clearly explained, and I'm really thankful for that. So, in Acts 1:5, before Jesus Christ ascended, for John, Acts 1:5, Jesus Christ said, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with Holy Spirit not many days hence. And that usage and a number of usages we're going to see in Acts means Holy Spirit, the gift of Holy Spirit. And then they ask a goofy question about, is this the end times? Verse 8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you'll be witnesses unto me both in Judea, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. In verse 5, there's two baptisms there, right? It's real clear. John baptized with water. That's John's baptism. It's water. Dunk, spray, sprinkle. Some H2O involved somewhere. Squirt gun, I don't know, whatever they do. There's that baptism, but then there's also the baptism of the Holy Spirit when you receive God's gift. Verse 8's real significant because it says you're going to receive power, and the word receive there is that Greek word lambano, which is handled really wonderfully in the Walking in God's Power foundational class. And there's another word dekomai, which means to receive. And the simplest way for me to understand it, because I don't like to get complicated, if Ed gave me this pen and said, here you go, got a gift for you, this pen. And I go, wow, thanks, Ed. It's a nice pen. Really nice. I'm going to leave it right up here, and then it'll always be there for me. That's dekomai. Lambano is, hey, thanks, Ed, and I start writing with it, utilizing it. Or we say manifesting it. Verse 8, you will lambano, manifest evidence, power. After that, the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you will be witnesses unto me. So Jesus Christ told them they're going to be baptized with Holy Spirit and that they would manifest it. In Acts chapter 2, they did. A few days later. In verse 4, this is the wonderful day of Pentecost, the 12, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, that gift, that new nature, the new birth, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That usage of Spirit at the end of that verse is referring to God. They began to speak in tongues, which is a manifestation of the Spirit, as God gave them utterance. God gives you the words. You don't have to come up with the words. God gives you the words. So there is fulfillment of what Jesus Christ said. You shall receive power. After that, you have the Holy Spirit. So God gave them the utterance. And this is the day of Pentecost. The door is now open. Anyone and everyone can receive God's gift of Holy Spirit and manifest it. And if you're familiar at all with what Peter taught in Acts chapter 2, he basically taught them about Jesus Christ, that he's Lord, and that God raised him from the dead. And in order to get saved, born again, and receive the Spirit, like Romans tells us, we confess the Lord Jesus, he's Lord, and we believe God raised him from the dead. That's it. God says, here you go. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 32, this Jesus has God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, promise of the gift, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. David's not ascended into heavens, but he said himself, the Lord said unto me, to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus who you crucified both Lord and Christ. It's very clear teaching. Now when they heard that, they were pricked in their ears, in their heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what should we do? Man, you really got to us with this. Peter said unto them, you need to make sure you're here every Sunday and don't miss. You need to pray at least 2 hours a day on your knees. You need, no, what did he say? Repent, which means change your mind. From what? You crucified him. Standing there saying, yes, crucify him. Change your mind, that's what repent means. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall lambano, the gift of Holy Spirit. You'll manifest it. That's all you guys need to do. Oh my goodness, what a invitation. For the promise, this promise of Holy Spirit, it's unto you, to your children, to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. In the early church, it was the norm when people got saved to manifest Holy Spirit. And almost every time it was speaking in tongues. Sometimes it was speaking in tongues and prophesying. It was the norm. And just like verse 38 said, you'll receive the Spirit and you'll manifest the Spirit. You shall lambano it. When it didn't occur, when people got born again and it didn't happen, the leadership of the church got involved to help. And we see that in Acts 8. Acts chapter 8. Philip went down to Samaria. These records are just so cool. And God put these in the Word just to show us. He didn't put every single record of every person that ever got born again, but it's like, hey, pay attention to these because these are the ones I put in there for you. Let's start with verse 5. Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and he preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Philip obviously was operating the power of God, not just speaking in tongues, interpretation, and prophecy, but signs, miracles, and wonders. Unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Then we read about Simon the sorcerer, but let's go down to verse 14. Now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria, which is where Philip is, had decomied the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. Decomai. They were born again, but there's no lambano. And so in Jerusalem, they heard, wow, we got a great thing going on in Samaria, but they haven't manifested, not lambanoed. And it seems to be quite evident that nobody said, yeah, but there's all these miracles. I mean, they're doing great. People got healed. They love the word. They accepted Jesus Christ. They haven't lambanoed. And that's why the next verse says, who, talking about Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might lambano the Holy Spirit. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? People were getting saved. There were miracles going on, but something was missing. And in the early church, wait a second, something's missing here. And Peter and John came down specifically to help them lambano. It was a big deal that they hadn't. And there's only 9 ways to manifest it, right? Speaking in tongues, interpretation, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning spirits, faith, and love. Verse 16, for as yet he or it was fallen upon none of them, meaning in manifestation, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they lambanoed. Holy Spirit. Doesn't say specifically, but, you know, Simon saw something. Well, what did he see? Tongues, speaking in tongues, or could have been prophecy too, or tongues with interpretation. They lambanoed. They evidenced the Spirit. So again, in the early church, this was the norm. So this was how you began your Christian life. Yeah, born again and whoop, manifested. Spoke in tongues, interpreted, prophesied, then, you know, moved on to learning more and operating the other manifestations. That's just how the first century church was. Acts 10 is when Gentiles got involved. Now, I'm just kind of trying to do a quick review here, so I'm not going to read all of chapter 10, but it's so exciting to read it, but we're going to get to the end. When Peter preached to Cornelius, he's in Caesarea, he's preaching. In Acts 10, verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit, that's the gift, fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision, meaning the Judean believers, which believed, were astonished. They're like blown away. As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of Holy Spirit. And how did they know that these Gentiles received the gift? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Oh, man, that's how they knew. It was the norm. You began your Christian life by getting born again. And when you get born again, you receive the Spirit of God, and then you manifest it. And then it says, then answered Peter, can any man forbid water? Ah, we got water now. That these should not be baptized in water, which have received, which have lambanoed the Holy Spirit as well as we. The knowledge of the mystery had not been revealed. You know, like just starting out, and it's like Gentiles? This was like a mind blower. And Peter's like, let's get some water. Let's baptize them too. You know, we would have done the same thing. There is a baptism with water, right? And there's baptism with the Holy Spirit. But what did Jesus Christ say? John truly, we read it, right? Acts 1:5. John truly baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with Holy Spirit. Two baptisms. So that's why when you go to Acts chapter 11, well, verse 47 again. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have lambano, the gift, as well as we? If you're already born again, if you're manifesting Holy Spirit, what's water going to do? Just get you wet. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. He commanded them. Let's get water. Put it here. But did he do it? In Acts 11, when he went back to Jerusalem and told them what was going on, it says in Acts 11, verse 15, and as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them as on us at the beginning. The beginning was the day of Pentecost. That's when it started. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with Holy Spirit. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus, what was I that I could withstand God? So in other words, he kind of got stopped in his tracks. Let's get water. And then it was like, wait a second. What did Jesus say? What a great verse. I love this because it says, then remembered I the word of the Lord. And that's a good lesson for all of us. Not just this topic, but in all topics. Then remembered I what the Bible said about things. Oh, this is great. I love this. So Peter didn't baptize them. There was no need. They had the new birth spirit and they manifested it. One more record before we go to Galatians. I'll show you what caught my attention. We're going to Acts 19, but make a quick pit stop in Acts 18. Towards the end of Acts 18, verse 24. There was a certain Jew named Apollos. He was born in Alexandria. He was an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures. I mean, this guy knew the Old Testament backwards and forwards. And he came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being, it says, fervent in the Spirit. That usage of spirit is the things of God. It's not the new birth spirit. Look at the rest of the verse. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Apollos didn't know about getting born again, receiving the Spirit of God, and then manifesting it. So he just taught what he knew. Isn't that what we do? Who knows the entire whole Bible backwards and forwards? Well, I can't teach. I don't know it all. Can you get somebody born again? Sure. So that was Apollos. In verse 26 says, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla heard, they took him unto them privately and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Don't you love these guys? They're great. They'd been hanging around with Paul. They knew all about getting born again and manifesting. But they didn't embarrass Apollos when he was teaching, you know, stand up and go, hey, I got something to say. What about the new birth, Mr. Eloquent? They didn't embarrass him. They didn't shame him. They just took him away privately and expounded unto him the way more perfectly. And then when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples, receive him, who when he was come, he helped them much which had believed through grace. And he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures, Old Testament, that Jesus was Christ. So they gave him some more instructions. So now, Acts 19, Paul gets to Ephesus. It came to pass that while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, finding certain disciples. He said unto them, have you lambanoed Holy Spirit since you believed? Why was he asking them that? That was the norm. He didn't say, are you guys attending every Sunday? Are you guys praying at least an hour a day? How often are you guys reading the scriptures anyway? That's what I want to know. Have you lambanoed Holy Spirit? And they said, we've not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Spirit. And that usage is not God. That has to be the gift of Holy Spirit. They obviously knew there was God, right? That was the norm. Paul said, have you lambanoed? And they went, no, we haven't even heard about this. And so in verse 3, he said, well, what then were you baptized with unto? And they said, John's baptism? Ah, these are people that Apollos taught. And that's all Apollos knew. He said, got to get you dipped. There you go. And then Aquila and Priscilla gave Apollos greater instruction. Apollos moved on and went to Corinth. Paul comes to town. Hey, you guys are believers. Have you manifested Holy Spirit? We didn't what? Haven't even heard about it. What? How'd you? Well, John's baptism. Okay. Paul knew. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him who should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came upon them in manifestation, because the rest of the verse says, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Paul helped them to lambano. That was the norm in the first century. And we're so blessed, you know, in our day and time, we have classes that can help people. And it's not that you have to take a class to manifest. Somebody wants to manifest, get with somebody and they'll help you, right? But great teaching that we have in the Walking in God's Power foundational class and the intermediate class and the advanced class as well to help us. Let's go to Galatians, if you would. Show you what caught my attention. Galatians 3. Galatians is a pretty no-nonsense epistle. Galatians is pretty rough to read in some places, because these people needed this kind of correction. And let's remember that on the first day of Pentecost, when God's Spirit was finally available, what did Peter tell them they needed to do to receive the gift of Holy Spirit? How did they receive it? They received it by believing, right? By believing what Peter taught them, that Jesus is Lord and God raised him from the dead, right? The Bible says we're saved by grace, not of works, lest anybody should boast. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the end of the law. And so, to obtain what God's made available, Jesus is Lord, God raised him from the dead. That's it. So here in Galatians, we're going to see that word Spirit, where its usage is the totality of the new nature, which means all of the rights, all of the privileges, all of the abilities, including manifesting, the whole big package, okay? You know, there was pretty strong words at the beginning of this epistle, which you could read. Like in 1:6, he says, I marvel you're so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ to another gospel. I'm kind of blown away that you just so soon. And in chapter 3, he goes, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received you, lambanoed the totality of the new nature by the works of the law or by the hearing of believing? Just like in the book of Romans, law is put in contrast to the totality of the new nature. Paul is saying, and God's saying really, did you lambano the totality of the new nature by the law? Rhetorical question. No. In other words, do you speak in tongues by the works of the law? Do you do enough works and then you can speak in tongues? Part of the totality of the new nature is our righteousness before God. Are you righteous before God because of your works? Because you did a bunch of this? No, absolutely not. We receive the new birth spirit, including all the rights, privileges, and abilities by believing. By the hearing, it says, or by the hearing of faith, or by believing. Believing the right words. Not by doing the works of the law or any kind of works. What caught my attention as I was reading the book of Galatians, and I was like just reading through it going, you know, how blessed you get when you read the Bible. Then verse 3, are you so foolish, having begun in the totality of the new nature, are you now made perfect by the flesh? What caught my attention was it says, having begun in the spirit, or having begun in the totality of the new nature. These believers, like what we just saw in Acts, got born again and lambanoed. They began. We know they lambanoed because in verse 2 it says, you lambano, right? So they started out just like everybody else was. But now, something's going on. You started out right, something's going on. Verse 1, Paul said, who's bewitched you? Someone was leading them astray. Someone was leading them into legalism. And that's not good. The works of the law. Be right before God by your works, by what you do. The more you pray, the more right you are before God. You know, the more you read the Bible, the holier you're going to be. The closer you'll be to God. People come in with this legalism, and it's ugly. So verse 3 again is the totality of the new nature. And it says, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Flesh refers to our old nature. We have a new nature. Too bad the old nature didn't just vanish. We still have to carry that around. That's why we have to, you know, renew our minds. Having begun by means of the totality of the new nature, you now made perfect by the old nature. This new nature we have was not by the works of the law. We didn't work hard enough to get saved, to get born again, to have the ability to operate manifestations, to be righteous, but we did nothing. It's all by grace. So why would you turn to doing works? Why would you turn to legalism to try and obtain what you already have? Who bewitched you? Who's like pouring this into your head? You know, if you really want to be righteous before God, really want Him to love you, well, you need to do this, this, and this. No! You already are righteous now. It's part of the new nature. You can read that in Romans. But now, the righteousness of God is unto all them that believe. There's no difference. You are righteous. Well, if you don't feel righteous, it doesn't change anything, does it? If you're born in this country, the United States of America, you are what? Citizen. You are a citizen of this country. But if you really want to be a real citizen, you'll fly a flag like Scott does. See, he's a real citizen. He's got an American flag. Or you would have a bumper sticker on your car, I love America. That would really make you a citizen. Flag, bumper sticker or not, you're still a citizen, right? You still have all the rights of a citizen, whether you fly a flag or don't. Nice to fly one. I like that. But does that make you more of a citizen? If you read the Bible 5 hours a day, does that make you more righteous before God? No. Does that make God love you more? No. Sometimes sincere Christians come sliding in with legalism. That's what was happening in Galatians. In Galatians 5, that's what we're going to wind up. Spirit comes up, the word spirit, pneuma, in the Greek, comes up 8 times. And all the usages are the totality of the new nature. There's a whole lot about Galatians in this student study guide if you want to check it out sometime. And obviously I don't have time in a setting like this to get into all of that. But I thought before we close, we'll just read some verses in chapter 5. With all the stuff that we've just covered this morning, perhaps it'll stand out a little more to you. In chapter 5, verse 1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. the law, legalism. We have the freedom in Christ. We have eternal life. We're going to be gathered together. If all of us right at the end of this fellowship decided we want to be Buddhists, we're done with Christianity, we love Buddha, we are not going to lose any rights, privileges, or abilities. We're still going to have eternal life. What a God. So we have freedom. So stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Circumcision isn't going to do anything. For I testify again to every man that circumcised, well, good. You're a debtor to do the whole law. You want to get circumcised? You think that's what you should do? Well, then do the whole law, which nobody can do. Christ has become of none effect to you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. We'll come back to that verse. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but believing, which works by love, believing the gospel of God concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, believing what God has accomplished for us, which is energized by love. Hey, guess what? You did run well. You guys were doing really good. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Chapter 3 said, who's bewitched you? In our terminology, we might say it, what the hell's going on over there? Who are you fools listening to? Fools, yeah. Oh, foolish Galatians. It's a really strong correction epistle. This persuasion, verse 8, comes not from him that called you. This ain't coming from God, guys. And then a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Don't let that stuff permeate the fellowships, the legalism. Don't let it. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubles you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. We have freedom. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. We have this great freedom, but don't let this freedom be for the old nature, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Remember when they asked Jesus Christ, well, which is the greatest commandment? And they were doing that to tempt him, not to learn. And he said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's the whole law, guys. What's your next question? All the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. When that legalism stuff starts getting in there, then comes the judging, the criticizing. Well, how much of Bible have you read? How many verses have you memorized? How long do you pray? And it's just ugly. It's just ugly. This I say then. Walk, conduct our lives in the totality of the new nature, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the old nature. For that old nature lusts against the totality of the new nature, and the totality of the new nature against the old nature. These are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the totality of the new nature, you're not under the law. And then it goes on, but I want to go back to verse 5, which is just beautiful. This is what we'll close with, this verse 5. It says, for we through the totality of the new nature wait for the hope of righteousness by believing. We're all waiting for that blessed hope of Christ's return, right? Wouldn't it be great if it happened right now? Out of here. We're waiting. How do we wait? This verse tells us. It says, we, that's us, born again ones, through the totality of the new nature. We wait by means of the totality of the new nature. We wait by manifesting the Spirit, the manifestations. Speak in tongues, interpret, prophesy, get information from God. We wait by renewing our minds, like it says in Romans, to the great realities of who God says we are right now. We're righteous. We're sanctified. We're forgiven. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings. And, you know, sometimes, maybe not for you, but we have to re-remind ourselves of those things. Might wake up one day and not feel so righteous, so sanctified. Well, I'm really blessed with all spiritual blessings. I don't see them today. That's how we wait. The Christian walk should begin, start out with, you get born again, receiving God's gift of Holy Spirit, and then manifest it, operate it, speak in tongues, interpret, prophesy. And then as we learn about our rights, privileges, and abilities and that other stuff, we believe God's word and live it. That's what the end of that verse 5 says, by faith, by believing. And along the way, we don't get bewitched, misled, even by sincere Christians, which is really so many times where the legalism comes from. And you know it, you've seen people before get all legalistic, and they might be promoting legalism, that our works make us more righteous, that our works make us more accepted in God's eyes, more loved. Do this, do that. So we don't become foolish and hindered, but rather, verse 5 again, for we, by means of the totality of the new nature, we wait for the hope of righteousness by believing. Believing who God says we already are now. By believing what God says we already have right now. And by believing what God says that we can do. Because all that we have right now in the new birth is by God's grace. None of it is by any of our good works or good intentions. God just said, here, now live it. So, Father, thanks for the greatness of the new birth and that wonderful gift of Holy Spirit that we all have. Thank you, Father, for your wonderful word that we can take the time to read and understand and get a better picture of God, of who we are and what you've given us. And may we just continue to love you, believe that you have given us what you said you have, and may we just, out of gratitude, walk the Christian walk, thankful for what you've given us and done for us, with love in our hearts, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.